Hi everyone and welcome to the DevOps Lab. I'm Damien Brady and I'm joined today by James Montemagno. We are going to talk about DevOps for mobile development. Now you are the principal program manager for mobile development.
Tools. There it is. Got it. Crushed it. So close. We only rehearsed that 28 times before this.
Yeah, I'd already forgotten.
Yes. And a good question is like, what does that mean? Because it's a very long title.
It is. Well, that is a good question. So mobile development tools, we're talking about App Center. Mm-hmm. But also, one thing we're going to talk about today is Visual Studio Team Services for mobile development, right?
Exactly.
So what's the difference? When do I use App Center? When do I use VSTS? Can I use them both?
Yeah. So and like I actually work with all of our teams here at Microsoft. So I came from the Xamarin acquisition. I was a developer advocate for Xamarin for many years. Came over here, and now I'm a program manager for all of our mobile dev tools team. For all of our mobile dev tools, right?
Yep.
What that means is that I actually have a heavy focus on Xamarin and making sure that using C# is the best way to build mobile applications for iOS, Android, Mac, Windows, anywhere. Whether you're using XAML with Xamarin Forms or going straight to storyboards or Android XML, using a Mac, using a PC, using Visual Studio Team Services to build it, using App Center to distribute it, using any of our services with Azure. So my goal here at Microsoft is to make using Microsoft products extremely enjoyable and work extremely well with all cross-platform tooling. That's what I do,
okay.
Right? And a lot of questions come about App Center, you know, it's the new hotness, VSTS or TFS, like when do I use what? Mm-hmm. And if you think of App Center, so Visual Studio App Center, if you think of App Center as a set of services that you can use that are optimized for applications, and those apps are UWP apps, macOS apps, iOS, Android apps that can be written in any languages, and those services, there are some DevOps type services, which are being able to build, test, and distribute. Mm-hmm. But there's also learning services like crash reporting, analytics, push services. So they're all services. Mm-hmm. And I almost think of App Center as a complement to VSTS because VSTS gives you full control. And I think as being an app developer for 6 years, I love the control, right? I want to finally tweak and tune and run all my custom scripts and do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And VSTS, like I think you guys have always said, especially Devin, if you can run a command line on it, like you can run a script on your, if you can do it on your computer, you can do it in VSTS.
Exactly.
And it's true. I've never ran into a limitation. And I'm going to show off some of these crazy things I'm doing. So how I like to think of it is if you have a simple application, just like one solution, you know, maybe not a backend or anything like that, you can use App Center for everything, right? Mm-hmm. That's great. But where you're going to host your source control or your code, where you're going to work on your work item tracking, right? That can all be done in VSTS.
Okay.
But more importantly, what I like to do is use the power of VSTS for all of my builds and the release management pipeline. Like the release management part of VSTS is extremely powerful. And what's nice is that you can then leverage VSTS for build and distribution directly into App Center.
So you're not locked into one or the other.
Exactly.
Right.
You can easily mix and match exactly what you want. And what I love about VSTS is the power that it does. And it's kind of like what you're building, right? So sometimes you may use App Center for the build, maybe not. Mm-hmm. And I can show you kind of some different scenarios that are there. But they're nice complements to each other.
Yep.
And there's tasks built into VSTS to publish tests and distribute right into App Center, which is super cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's have a look. I want to see, I guess, where the two things fit and how they blend together, and then especially how you would configure like a real project and stuff like that. So
yeah.
So I guess where do we get started? Like what's the starting point?
So what I'm going to do is I created just a very simple application, file new iOS application. Now this could be any app. It could be Objective-C, Swift, React, but of course you should be using C# with Xamarin.
Yep.
So that's what I did, and I just created a new project in VSTS, and I also created an app inside of App Center. So it's kind of like a project. Think of I created my app project in App Center and one in VSTS. But I'm going to do almost everything over here in VSTS. So I put all my source code inside of Team Services here. So I have an iOS project, mm-hmm. and I also have a user interface test project.
Right.
So usually when I'm building apps, I'm not just building. This is where I think VSTS already shines, right? Because I want to build my app. But I also want to do like unit testing, UI testing, maybe have a backend, and I want to publish that in Azure. I mean, what app doesn't have a backend?
Exactly. Yeah.
So all my stuff is in here, so I can browse around. This is just a very stock kind of tabbed controller, so I can browse all my code. I can create pull requests. I can do anything that I want. I actually have a pull request already open, which is kind of nifty here. So I have multiple branches, all the power. You know VSTS. But what I have also inside of here are my build definitions. So the very first thing I want to show is how easy it is to get started.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not complicated. You go and say new. And I think we've always shown this off. We have all this great ASP.NET stuff up here, but then you have Android, you have your containers, Jenkins, Gradle, Maven, and then down here are your iOS, Android, or if you're doing Xcode development, there's Xcode build.
Yep.
So I just did a Xamarin iOS, and what this will do is it'll set up all the scaffolding you need. So let's go back to that build, and we'll take a peek here. And when I go and edit this script, or the build definition, I should say.
You accidentally paused that.
Oops. Resume it. Which is actually one of my favorite features. I totally am setting up a lot of different builds, and I like to have triggers on them. But I often come in and pause them. It's like a hidden feature. I love VST. There's all these little hidden things, I swear. So let's edit this puppy. And when I come in here, most of this is already done for you. But I configured it like a real app. And what we're going to see is I have 6 steps.
Yeah. Okay.
And this is building a real application. But notice here, I'm using a host Mac.
So this is a new thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It always used to be that you used to have a Mac that you connected to and that did your builds. Because you have to build on a Mac, right?
Yeah, for iOS, you have to. And Android, you could use the hosted Windows machine if you wanted to. And your obviously ASP.NET stuff could too. But yeah, the problem is, even for Xamarin developers, you have to have a Mac at some point. Yeah. And I have a Mac Mini that just sits at home, and it is my VSTS agent.
Yeah.
And that's actually, I have a lot of favorite features of VSTS because there are so many, but I love the ability to actually take the agent and install it because then I'm in control.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I get to control when I update, when I don't update. I've used a lot of hosted different services before, and what happens if they update to some alpha version, you're like, oh, I didn't want to do that. Well, you know, it's here for you.
But especially, we're talking about getting started as well. And
super simple.
Yeah, super simple. Okay, cool.
So there's a few things. I'm actually building, since I'm doing UI testing on it, I'm actually going to sign it. So I actually already registered my machine with my provisioning certificate and provisioning profile.
Okay.
And what's really cool here is that these are new tasks, install Apple cert and provisioning profile. So when you go over to add new and just type in Apple, there's these Apple certs here. And what that does is it allows you to simply upload your cert right here into the portal. Now go into secure storage.
So this secure storage, that's part of VSTS, is that right?
Yeah, it's part of the library. So under build and release, you'll see library. I actually did a whole blog on this. I love it.
We'll put a link to that.
Yeah, it's super cool. And it's called Secure Files.
Right.
So this is, think of it as like a private blob storage for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. So in a lot of apps I'll have our key stores, provisioning profiles, everything in here, or any custom file you want. It's just a file.
Yeah.
And as we saw here, it literally just finds it for me from that drop-down list. And if you upload it, boom, there too. Now, the only thing that I actually do is something custom for the hosted solution. And I'm hoping that they make this a task in the future, but there's scripts installed on the hosted agent that'll allow me to configure if I want stable, beta, or alpha.
Right, okay.
Which is actually kind of cool, because even though it is hosted, you can say, I want the stable version of Xamarin. So I just do that here as a little shell script.
And this is coming back to what you mentioned before, like if you can run it on a computer, you can do it. So this is something you needed to do as part of your build.
Yep.
And then
it's there.
Yeah. Right?
And then actually to actually build it, it's super simple. You just point it at the solution. Again, one of my favorite features here is since I have the source code there, even if it wasn't GitHub, it's there. I can browse it and I can say, oh, let me build that very specific solution or a CS proj or whatever I want. And I say create app package. And I don't need to specify anything else because since I've uploaded my certs, the solution at build time with MS build will automatically find all that stuff for me.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, that's it. So really simple. And then it just literally publishes. I didn't change any of this, by the way.
Yep.
The only thing I did were these first 3 steps. That's all I did. And if you're doing a simulator build, you'd be fine. You don't have to do anything. And then I upload this and publish this artifact up into my release management part.
Perfect.
But I like to do things in phases. I'm a big phase person. I don't know, how do you use phases?
I'm often very lazy and okay. I just put everything in the one phase. But phases are good for having different parts of your application. So if you're building different packages and you want them to be built individually, or like you've got UI testing phases there.
Yeah.
I will often do a unit test phase as a separate thing as well. But
yeah. Phases are super cool because you're right, you can just do some work. So maybe I have my iOS as a phase, Android as a phase, backend as a phase, database as a phase, UI test as a phase, mm-hmm. and they can all kind of just run it out. So here I say, hey, restore the NuGet packages, use MS Build to do my tests, and then I actually publish those artifacts to a different folder. So that way I can distinguish, this is my iOS build, this is my UI test. They're not really, they're related, so they're in the same bucket, but they're separated, which is kind of nice.
And that phase is on the same agent, the hosted Mac agent?
Same agent, yeah. So it just automatically will inherit from the definition. So it's all boom, and it all works.
So that's one of the other things that can be handy. Like if you had a specific machine that you wanted to build your Android version of your app, for example, you might want to run that in a different phase.
Exactly.
Run a different hardware, yeah.
Yeah, which is super cool. And like literally that's it. Like it builds, it goes on hosted Macs, all done.
Nice.
Yeah. And what's nice is, of course, that I have triggers set up. So this is going to happen every single time I commit code, no matter what. And I can do it on one branch, I can do it on multiple branches, I could schedule it. So all the same, when it comes to mobile DevOps, I like to think of automating the stuff I don't want to do, but also adding value, because me, it's valuable that, listen, every single time I commit code, I'm not only going to be building my UI tests, building my apps, making sure that it signs correct. Did someone change something in the CS prod so it works on their machine, but it doesn't work for anybody else? It happens all the time.
Yeah.
So this really ensures that it's there. And what I love is that these things right here, these certs, are actually, where's my cert at? It's installed into a temporary keychain.
Right.
That's only going to live for that very short purpose. And if you want them to uninstall, they'll uninstall at the end too. But this is a temporary one that'll never be used for anything else.
That's awesome.
So even if it's on a host on your own machine, you can say, don't use my keychain. Use this temporary one only for this build. So that way the agent is living in its nice little cozy home, you know?
Yeah, separate, kind of sandboxed, I guess. Yeah. The thing. Awesome. So you have your app built. You've uploaded the artifacts.
Yep.
And now you need to put it somewhere, right?
I got to put it somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's really where App Center comes in. Because App Center is going to give me a way to run those UI tests that I just built, and also give me a way to distribute it internally or externally, which is important. So over inside of App Center, I have my app. And see, I'm not using any of the build stuff because I don't need to. And I have all the services of test, distribute, and crash and analytics. Now, what's great here is that you can use App Center for all this, or you can use any other complementary services, maybe like Raygun, for instance, for crash reporting.
Yep.
Yeah, you can use App Center or you can use Raygun. It's your choice, whatever works best for you. I love Raygun. So what I've done is I've set up some of my device sets in here for testing and distributing. So I have a QA and a smoke test here.
Okay.
So with every dev build, I like to run on one device. Before, right?
Yeah.
Nice, short, and quick.
On an actual device, this
on
is, right?
On a physical device, yeah. And I get to pick it, what operating systems that are there.
Yep.
Then I have a QA test suite, which is multiple OSs, multiple device form factors. So that way, before I give it to somebody else in the public or to QA, I've smoke tested on a bunch of different devices.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then I also have distribution groups of my collaborators, which are like my devs, and also public testers.
Okay.
So that is like my setup here, but the goal is to get it in there, which is why I come over into my release management. Again, my favorite part, all my favorite parts of VSTS.
There's a lot of favorite parts.
There's a lot of favorites. Actually, this release management sold me before I did anything else on VSTS. I was like, I want this power to control when and how and where things get distributed.
Yep.
Because to me, I'm not just delivering things once, I'm delivering in multiple stages of my solution. I'm delivering first my backend, maybe then my web API, then I need to go what? When I'm a developer is mobile, I need a dev build because I need to test it on my device. I need QA to get it. I then need to give it to a public beta tester. I need to then upload it into Google Play or to the App Store. And then maybe I need to do other things. Maybe I have some other build that needs to go into Blob storage, or maybe I need to put it into a public app center or Hockey app or something like that, right? And that's where this comes in. So here I have all my artifacts. So every single time I build something, latest build, it automatically gets triggered for me, automatically. And of course I could filter on branches if I wanted to, but every time. And notice I have two phases. I'm gonna show you one with a lot more, but I literally set up all this in like an hour, like everything just for funsies, like because you wanted me to come on.
Yeah.
So I have a dev phase, which has two tasks.
Okay.
And these are App Center tasks.
So this just talks to App Center and says, do this thing that you're so good at doing.
Yep.
This is part of my development, you know, deployment.
Exactly. Just as if I had a backend, maybe I was going to run some scripts to update my database. Maybe I was going to deploy something into app service. Those are steps, right? And my step here is I want to make sure that I run on physical devices and then I can deploy it. And anyone can come in here, right? And maybe you're using old Hockey app services. Those are there still.
Yep.
If you're using different testing solutions, just any of your unit tests, test cloud tests, things like that, they're all there too. So what I did is I simply configured and I said, hey, go grab my app. So here's those artifacts.
Yeah.
So I didn't name them beautifully, but they're in here, right? So I have bin, iPhone, debug in here, and then there's my IP. It's very hidden. And then I have all my UI test stuff.
Okay.
So these are coming from the build, just like you would expect.
Yep.
So I go in here and I say, hey, there's my app. I'm using UI tests. I could have used Appium, Espresso, Calabash, XUI, any language, right?
Right, yeah.
I say, this is where my build solution is. And here's where my tools directory is, and I want you to go to Xamarin.show/Xamarin.show and use the smoke test devices.
Right.
So you get to specify very fine grain, and when that happens, when I go into my test, guess what? There's all my tests inside of here, and if I tap on one, I can see that I have my app launches tests, which is actually source code. This is actually running, and I can see my app running.
Wow.
Which is super cool. And then back over here, then I deploy it into my dev. So once it actually builds, tests it, then I get a build that I can install.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Then I have another flow. So once that's done, I have a QA test. And this is exactly the same. I actually just went in and cloned it, but I changed a few variables because now what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the QA test devices. And then over to deploy, I'm actually going to use a specific distribution group.
Right.
All right. So the specific distribution group enables me to then come in and distribute to my public testers.
Yep. Okay.
Instead of my collaborators. So here I've actually done that once already. And you can notice that on this build here, I have five devices because I've ran that now on five different devices, real physical devices, iPhone 6s, iOS 10, and 11. So what that means is that when I come into my releases over here, I have I've actually queued something up. I added the App Center SDK into this here. So if I look, it says that I've deployed. I'm green, right? I had some reds. That's not good, but I'm green here. So let's do this live. Why not? So if I tap on this, I've set it up so as a developer, I need to approve this.
Yep. Perfect.
Again, so, one of my favorite features.
This gives you the automatic workflow stuff, right?
Yep.
So you have your dev stuff. If everything's fine, you or a manager or a CEO at a bar could even say, right,
go.
We are ready to launch this to QA in this case, but it could be to production.
To production, yeah. And that's normally what I would have is another one. So now what's nice here is this is all going to happen if I go into my logs. This is going to get my QA build. We've already done our deployment. This is going to go ahead and initialize my job, initialize an agent, and then publish this up into App Center, and I'll be ready to go. So we're just kind of, you know, we're getting ready to deploy whenever this kicks in. I know it updates automatically, but I always like to hit the refresh button.
It's I'm impatient.
Yeah. And then again, look at this as a hosted agent.
Right.
And this could be the Mac. I think this is a PC because it doesn't really matter.
For this one, it's just an API call against App Center.
Right. And App Center, I actually love just like seeing it all, like just do
watch the logs.
Yeah. And App Center is API first, so that's why Visual Studio Team Services can have these great tasks, because anything that you're doing in App Center's UI, there's an API for it.
So those tasks, the App Center tasks, they're installed by an extension, or are they out of the box?
They are out of the box, actually.
Right.
So when I went in, I didn't do anything specific, although I could have come in and browsed for additional extensions inside of here if I needed to use something like Octopus Deploy or Slack integration or stuff like that. But everything I've shown you is built into the box. I didn't have to do anything else at all, which is super cool. We'll see if this thing's actually going or not. There we go. So now we've downloaded the artifacts, and this puppy here is going to, I think, actually be kicking off a new build. If this all is going to be doing it in real time. It's
actually doing a test run.
It's doing a test run in real time.
So this is part of your deployment process, right? You've deployed to dev, you're okay, you've approved it, it's going to QA, but first it's doing a test run against real devices, running a test, and then if that's okay, it'll say, right, QA test is out.
Yeah, exactly. And if I wanted to at this point, I could always come in and I could come back into my pipeline. I could say, oh, you know what, I'm ready for a new one. And let's go ahead and do empty. And I can say, this is going to be App Store, right? Now, like another approval letter level, I could come in and say, I want to go to Google Play, right? And I can say, let me just go ahead and release this into Google Play. I can go into Apple App Store release. Boom, right?
Wow.
So then I have that same pipeline
that's
on there.
And it's just a continuation of exactly what you've already got.
Exactly, yeah.
That's cool. So this is like kind of a far new project style thing.
Yeah.
How does this change? Does this change a lot when you're building a real app, like a real world Xamarin app, mobile app that you're going to actually deploy?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it was really funny. So I PM'd, so program manager, so I helped manage and actually develop, and I set up the entire production pipeline for our Xamarin Live Player. Mm-hmm. Our Xamarin Live Player is a tool. It's an app that you download from the App Store or runs on the simulators now too, that allows you to see your app run live, and you can manipulate the source code, edit the source code, and the updates happen live in the app.
Yep.
So you never have to stop and recompile ever.
I've seen these demos, and they're amazing.
I'm
going to put like 12 links to different versions of this, but that demo is amazing.
Yeah.
So
that app, we were actually using, up until about a month ago, we were using all different services. We were using different CI services, different source code. We didn't have any release management. In fact, my different release management was a different build task, and I just needed to get stuff done. So I didn't want to go through a complexity. I know what I know today, right? So I'm going to use this thing for track, and it was terrible because I literally had 18 different tabs open, all these different services. I'm like, oh, I can't do this, right? So I just gave myself a challenge. I said, I'm going to take these three different or four different services we're using to do all of our different source code management. I'm going to put it all in VSTS.
Right?
Can I do that in a weekend? I had it done on Saturday night,
right?
Like one day. A lot of the stuff that I showed you here applied over to the live player. So I thought it would be cool.
Yeah.
Is I've never shown anyone in the outside world this, is show you how we build the live player with Team Services, a real app.
So this is money where your mouth is stuff, right?
This is real. This is doing our work item tracking. It's doing our build for our QA dev. It's doing App Store builds. We have a separate build for our simulator builds. We have a separate build for our hockey app deployment. We're building the app multiple ways and swapping out variables.
Okay.
Right? So sometimes for QA, this little flag gets set. For simulators, it's a very different build that the user sees compared to what's in the App Store. So it's the same source code, but we use VSTS to run custom tasks to swap things out.
And you need different signing and things like that for different.
Exactly. There's different signatures versus simulator versus App Store versus enterprise distribution, for instance, and that all comes into play.
That would be awesome to see.
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
Let's go. So I actually have Edge open over here. And one thing I didn't show is as a PM, it's very important to me that I have a powerful dashboard.
Of course.
I use a lot of Power BI for the analytics coming from the application, but on a day-to-day basis, I need to monitor what the developers and what I'm working on. So I love seeing all of our build status. You can see where I broke the build a few times.
Everybody's build looks like that.
It happens. Yeah, it's okay. Happens. But I can see bugs that I'm working on, things that are in the resolve state that I need to go test. Mm-hmm. I can see just our iteration sprint burn down, how many days are remaining. We're a little bit far behind, but that's okay. Holidays.
Yeah, but
I can see what's open, what's not open, all the team members, and our actual current deployment status here.
All right.
Now, this is interesting because one thing I didn't change over is where the code lives. The live player is a combination of an app solution mm-hmm. and four submodules.
Okay.
And some of those submodules have submodules.
Right.
It's very complex. And if you use submodules, you know the complexity a little bit there. So there's no source code because we're using GitHub for everything.
Right.
Currently. Currently, at least. My plan is maybe to pull it in, but all those submodules, guess what, will live in GitHub because that's where they're at.
Sure.
I could put them all in here under multiple repos, just I haven't done it yet. So nothing in here, but I have my backlog. Big fan of the backlog, which I didn't show, but this is like where things work. This is real.
So this is how your team would manage the work that they're supposed to be doing. Is this your dashboard specifically? Sorry, this is your backlog?
This is the backlog for the team that I've customized.
Of course.
So we really liked Planner or Trello style type of Kanban boards. Mm-hmm. If you've ever used them, they're very simplistic. So for instance, I have this thing called an inbox, and maybe you can tell me I'm using it wrong, but this is how we use it.
Nope.
And I tweeted out, how do I get VSTS to be just like Planner or Trello style?
Yeah.
Which is, I have an inbox, which is everything possible that I ever want to work on. So these are all ideas, things that may happen, that may not happen, who knows? And you can see one of them is pull source code into VSTS. that's work that needs to be done.
Yep.
And then I learned about these swim lanes. So there's like an important lane and then a not important lane.
Yeah.
So what I did is triaged our things that we're working on in this sprint.
Okay.
So we've triaged these as work that needs to be done. And then we have in progress, resolved, and closed. But I set up certain filters that based on the bug severity, it gets real red or not red.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm just weird.
No, this is the kind of stuff that you want. It like draws your attention to it, right?
In fact, like if it's in important and it's real red, you should probably be working on it.
Yeah, sure.
So everything's here and we go and we drag and drop and we do all that stuff as we're working on it. I can come in and assign it to people right inside of here if I need to. Mm-hmm. Really powerful stuff. And then the power, though, is the build. And I'm not going to go through all of it, but you're going to see a real build definition in action.
Yep.
This is stuff that I have no idea. Again, I'm pausing it. Let's go ahead and resume it. Let's go ahead and edit this puppy. So I have one build definition that does everything.
Okay.
Because it's all delivered as one solution. And these are actually on my own Macs. So I have that Mac Mini sitting at home.
Okay.
Because I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm actually running custom F# scripts that need like root access, all this stuff. So again, guess what? I have all my provisioning profiles, but mm-hmm. I actually have a lot of provisioning profiles installed because I'm doing a lot of builds.
Yep, yep.
I'm actually running custom Git commands for all those submodules.
Right.
And what's nice on my hosted Mac or my agent Mac here is that I cache all the source control, so it doesn't have to download anything.
Yep.
But I actually do an update recursive force every single time on the submodules just to make sure they're latest.
Right.
It's my own peace of mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. I do a bunch of stuff, like I have to do some inline. I do some inline shell scripts here to update some different manifest files. Again, different versions. I'm bumping version codes. I'm running scripts inside. I'm replacing tokens inside of our app. I'm restoring all of these NuGet packages. I'm running custom F# scripts. I'm building our app store. I'm copying those into an app store bucket. I'm deleting. I'm zipping up files. Again, I do it for iOS. I'm running an iOS simulator build. I zip those up and I publish those artifacts. And I do it all again for our QA and dev because these have different variables, different things that are going on for feedback. So they look very similar, but they're actually running different scripts. Mm-hmm. Then I run my UI tests at the end.
So this is built up over you said it was like Saturday night, right?
It was Saturday night that I did all of it. About a month ago.
Okay.
And then we've been adding features since then. So one of them is a simulator feature. And I was like, oh, I can do that. Just add a few things. I had it up and running in 30 minutes,
right,
including our production pipeline.
That's cool.
And this all happens again, you guessed it, with every CI and pull request into it. So inside of GitHub, I'll see VSTS running it. I see all that magic, if it passes, if it fails or not, and it's good to go. And then, of course, the real bliss over here for me is release management. I mean, the build stuff is cool, but we're doing a lot of builds, 108 builds already, and that's just been a week or two.
Wow.
And if I go into this release definition, it is a spider web of awesome. it looks very similar to what we did before, but a little bit different. Remember, we're deploying a solution here. And in this instance, I'm not actually deploying a backend for the app, but I am uploading artifacts into Azure. I'm uploading things into the App Store. I'm signaling Slack to give us notifications. And when I think of the mobile developer, you know, DevOps workflow, it's all of this, right? It's not just, oh, I can push code. It's like, how do I get notified? What do I see in the dashboard?
Yep. So, anything. This is one of the things I've said. If you care about it at all, it should be part of this pipeline.
Exactly.
So if you want to see when stuff happened in Slack, it should be part of that pipeline.
Yeah. And this is all the same. If I go in, we have multiple tasks. There's a development, QA. Those are very similar to what we saw before. Mm-hmm. But notice that once I do QA, I'm releasing a final version into the app stores and into Hockey App.
Right.
And Hockey App, we're using Hockey App for legacy reasons, but that could be App Center, for instance. And I do that because not everyone has Google Play. You might have an Amazon Fire device or a device from China that maybe doesn't have Google Play. So we put it into Hockey App so everyone can get this app.
Right.
And then I have a manual simulator one. I'm not sure how to integrate that yet, so I just do it manually. But it's cool because I can do it. So here I'm testing, deploy Android and iOS. I go into the internal QA again, but different releases. Public App Store, publish it to Test Flight, publish it to Google. Right? I come in, public it to Hockey App, public Hockey App. Go to simulator, I go and I upload to Azure. Right?
Right.
I'm doing all sorts of stuff. It's not just app development once I'm now uploading into Azure that we see here. And when I do this, this blob storage will then trigger off another build to say we need to bump our actual IDE integration. So we have other webhooks that are going in that's looking at this blob storage and say, hey, I need to go now trigger some other stuff in VSTS.
Right.
Pretty crazy.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So this is all stuff that you're literally using this day to day. Like this 108 releases are something that you showed me.
Yep.
Represents 108 releases of the actual mobile live player.
That's correct.
The real app.
Every single time someone commits code, we can immediately test a real version that's been already smoke tested inside of our test lab for those devices, that test cloud of devices. Mm-hmm. And then they can install it, and that's the proof point. When that's actually really cool. So what I do is, when I go into my work and I see something's resolved that I need or someone else needs to test, mm-hmm. I go and I grab a build that was released automatically for me for testers.
Right.
So before I give it to anybody else, I have a real build that was built that'll be the same package that is put into the App Store.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So have you got more stuff planned? I know you mentioned that you were going to pull the code across maybe at some point.
Yep.
But is this kind of solid at the moment? You're happy to let this go for the moment, or?
So I keep finding just little nuggets, right? I keep finding little things. We just added the wiki support, so I want to add some wiki documentation. I want to pull the code over, just give it an experiment, see how that goes, because I've been using it everywhere else. And I like the most powerful feature that I'm missing is when I go to a work item, I really want to say, create a branch for this work item. Oh, it's so powerful. I want it, right? And it's got to be in there. So I want to do that. The other thing I'm really interested in about, too, is that not only are the developers testing the app, but we have a QA team too. Mm-hmm. But what do they test?
Right.
So I want to use the test section of VSTS to have manual tests that they can do, because automated stuff is good that the app works, but someone actually needs to test this app with Visual Studio on a Mac and a PC. Mm-hmm. But what do they test?
Right.
So I'm working currently on a test suite of manual tests that I can hand off to QA to say, this is what you actually need to test. And then developers, guess what they can do is when they add a new feature, can add a test in VSTS. Everything lives in one nice little cohesive area.
So this works a little bit better than all the different tools.
I'm much happier. I open one browser, one tab.
Yep.
Right? And everything is there for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Real, this is real.
Thanks for I'm super impressed that this is something that you set up on a Saturday.
Yeah.
But it's awesome to see this actually working for a real mobile project.
Yeah.
Building, deploying, and going through that whole pipeline in one hit.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah, thanks for letting me show it off. I've been dying to show it off to someone for a while. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, hopefully people enjoy that. It's awesome just to see it in real life, I think. So
yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining
me. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Great. And remember to check out the future episodes of the DevOps Lab show, and we will see you next time.